Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
We are on to the divisional round of the playoffs, which finally DraftKings got it right, and they made the main slate the four games between the 2 days. None of this mixed up bullshit like they did last week. But we are, you know, other than that, I had a profitable wild card weekend. It was good. Made some money, so that is all you can ask for. Nothing huge, but still, as long as you're in the green, you know, that's all you can ask for. Anyways. Joined as always with Maddie 2v2, Maddie Buckets. How you doing tonight?
Doing good, man. Yeah, wild card round was a fun one. I mean, we pretty much nailed every single, you know, straight up money line pick that we made last weekend. We said that the San Francisco Dallas one would be the closest one of the weekend, and all the other ones would be, you know, one pretty felt like pretty obviously would be won by the favorites. So, unfortunately for me, being a Cowboys fan, sucks to see them go out, but you know, when you have 14 penalties, you're not going to beat anybody, no matter who's on the other side of the ball. So, looking forward to some really exciting games we have this weekend. We've got some good ones.
Yeah, it worked out about as good as it possibly could in terms of matchups, what we're going to get. So obviously, we get Cincinnati, Tennessee, San Francisco, Green Bay, Rams, Bucks, and Chiefs, and Bills. So first things first, let's talk about this, because the most popular game on the slate is by far going to be the Chiefs and Bills. It has the highest total, and it's really not even close. It has almost it's actually 6 points more than the next closest game. It has a 54-point total, and it has the two highest implied point totals, with the Chiefs at 27.75 and the Bills at 26.25. So what strategy are you going to apply? Because really, the DraftKings made pricing so soft this week that you can essentially just play whatever you want for the most part, right? I mean, you got guys like Tyreek, who's at 6,600, Travis Kelce, 6,500, Diggs at 6,500. So this Chiefs game isn't hard to stack. So what ways are you going to try to get a little bit different to avoid a little bit of the chalk?
Yeah, so I guess the nice thing about this slate is we're not really hurting for, you know, other spots where we can have blow-up spots, right? So you've got the obvious one is Chiefs and Buffalo. And with, like you said, with the prices being down, I think you're going to see a lot of people go there. And it's, you know, again, it's not to say that those guys are bad plays, because they're not. I mean, that game is probably the best game on the slate to attack from a full game standpoint. But, you know, we've seen things just be weird this year. So, I mean, I would expect Mahomes and Josh Allen to make 50% of the quarterback ownership, maybe more, maybe 60. I mean, you could honestly see Josh Allen at 35% by himself. And Mahomes, you know, with how Mahomes has been recently, he's looked much better. You know, over the last, you know, month and a half, 2 months, playing at home, where KC offense actually has worse numbers at home because their defense tends to play better at home. But that shouldn't be an issue, you know, here in this game. I think there's going to be a ton of points scored. But, I mean, the entire field is just going to load up on this game, I feel like, with everybody being so cheap that, you know, you can play Josh Allen with Tyreek and Kelce on the other side and jam in Stephon Diggs, who, you know, all three of those pass catchers, Diggs, Tyreek, and Travis Kelce, are what, $6,500 about? So it's like you don't really have to make sacrifices to fit those guys in. So I think that game stack is going to be the most popular one on the weekend. And again, I don't think it's dumb to play that game at all. I just think if you're going to do it, just go, you know, fully just go absolutely nuclear with your stack, right? Just play everybody from the game. Play Diggs, play Beasley, play Josh Allen, play Tyreek, play Kelsey, maybe even throw in Byron Pringle and get the, you know, the 80-point total, 100-point total game. Like, if the, what if the game ends up 49-45, which, I mean, I guess it could. And nobody's going to full stack it like that. I think, you know, you're going to see the popular build is going to be Allen with Diggs or Allen with Beasley or Allen with Knox and then with Tyreek and Kelsey on the other side. So I think that's the popular way to play that game. And so just being slightly different, whether it be, you know, fading it completely and just hoping, you know, that game ends up 24-21 and, you know, some random guys catch touchdowns. I mean, we've seen on both of these offenses, the touchdowns tend to get spread around a ton. I mean, McKenzie can go out there and go for 100 yards and two scores. You know, Chiefs can involve the 400-pound defensive lineman to catch a touchdown. Like, the weird things can happen on both of these offenses. So it's not a lock that the obvious guys do score points here. So all of that to say, I mean, the Cincinnati-Tennessee game, Tennessee's got one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL, and Cincinnati's been, you know, one of the pass-heaviest offenses in the NFL over the last month. You've got, you know, Tennessee should be able to keep pace on the other side, especially at least hope the hope is, you know, Derrick Henry comes back and plays somewhat, whether it's limited snaps, that's better than not at all. You know, Green Bay at home, Aaron Rodgers in a playoff game against the San Francisco defense that just suffered a handful of injuries against Dallas. That hadn't really been good against the pass anyways. And they'd been very good at defending the run. So I would expect Green Bay to throw a lot. And we just saw San Francisco, you know, everything that's circling Twitter right now is, oh, CeeDee Lamb was in one-on-one coverage the whole game. Why are we not throwing to CeeDee Lamb? I guarantee you if Davante Adams gets single coverage, the ball is going to him. So the stack in Green Bay is very easy as well because, you know, MVS is supposed to miss. This game, he's looking doubtful. And I mean, you got Lazard sitting there. Cobb's going to come back and play. So, you know, he's interesting. They don't really have a tight end. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's going to be Adams and probably Lazard. So that Green Bay offense is very easy to stack in a game that they should just pass a lot. And then you've got the Rams in Tampa Bay. I mean, Stafford is what he's been the epitome of consistency this year, throwing for pretty much 300 yards and 2 to 3 touchdowns every single game. And Tampa Bay, we know, is one of the biggest pass funnels in the NFL. The Rams, you know, despite getting Cam Akers back, who looked very good, by the way, last week, despite getting him back, I expect the Rams to throw a lot on Tampa Bay. And those two teams have already played once this year, and Stafford had success. So, I think this whole slate is interesting, and I wouldn't just be it's a great tournament slate because we know that the field is most likely going to end up on KC Buffalo, and there's other spots that we can go.
I completely agree. And I think you like kind of like you were mentioning, I think you can still go KC Buffalo, but get a little bit different and find some other pieces. Mahomes has especially the last month or two of the season has really started to really spread around the ball. And you're not seeing these really concentrated target shares to Tyreek and Travis Kelce anymore. And so you're seeing the Byron Pringles get involved. Hell, I mean, we saw Jerick McKinnon be heavily involved last week as a, you know, as a running back. And I know a lot of people were tilting their face off for all the people that played Darrell Williams, who didn't play hardly at all.
He was like 75% owned.
And I felt good about that because I played very little Darrell Williams because I felt like this was a game that they didn't really need to utilize him all that much. And I played some Jerick McKinnon. Did not play him on the main slate or anything like that. I played him in Showdown, but in terms of just, but I avoided him, you know, in the main slate stuff and everything else. Just played other guys. Now this week is different because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back. He's been practicing in full, so he should be ready to go for this week. So I think that for me, like, you definitely can play this game. I'm not avoiding it, but I'm going to be looking to get a little bit different in terms of maybe going other places or stacking him with some different pieces that you normally would not stack him with. Past that, absolutely love Joe Burrow. Absolutely agree there at 6,600. We know that you could throw all over Tennessee, you know, whether you want to stack him with Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd or even CJ Uzoma could be a play if you want to do that. I love Joe Burrow, and then Aaron Rodgers. I don't think people are going to be as heavy on this game, especially the passing game, because of the weather. There's been a lot of talk about it. It's supposed to be like 1 degree, and everybody's worried about that. But that doesn't worry me at all with the Packers offense. This is the type of weather they play in all the time. They practice in it. It's not really that big of a deal. So, we've seen this game before already, the San Francisco game. It was on the road, obviously. But in that game, we saw Devontae Adams get 18 targets in that game. So I think that, from that perspective, I think you're right. I don't think anybody's going to want to play this game, or if they do, it's going to be like the running game, and they're going to avoid the passing game. And I think that's a mistake, because Aaron Rodgers can match, what Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen put up. And there's a chance that game does become a little bit more defensive, and it's not. This will be the second time they played this year. And there's a lot of, I've already seen all the Chiefs, they can't beat the Bills. The Bills already, destroyed them earlier in the year and all this other stuff. But that was a completely different game because, one, the Chiefs didn't have Chris Jones. The Chiefs didn't have Melvin Ingram in that game. Their defense was completely different than what it is now. And so I could see the Chiefs being a little bit more run heavy and just running it down their throat. We've seen the Bills really struggle to stop the run and maybe take Josh Allen off the field a little bit. And, I think there's different ways where this game gets a little bit different. And, it's not the shootout that we expect it to be. I don't think weather's a concern. Last I looked, it was like 30 or something like that. So it's not that big of a deal. Overall, I'm going to definitely have some stacks that aren't that. And I think the Packers and Bengals is where I'm going to start for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely good with, loading up Green Bay and Cincinnati and even – even the Rams are going to be high on my list. Stafford's highest fantasy output this year came against Tampa Bay earlier this year. So definitely a spot that I'm looking to attack. And as we're just kind of talking through this and we'll kind of talk about it more as we get to the wide receiver position, but it seems like everybody's going to play these guys that are in the 6K range, and it's going to make Kupp and Adams go overlooked. And I feel like all year, right, we've seen Kupp and Adams be the highest owned wide receivers on a slate. And now they're going to go overlooked because everybody's going to play Tyreek at 6,500 and Diggs at 6,500, pay up for Kelsey at tight end at that same price. AJ Brown is 6,200. Jamar Chase is a popular name. He's low 7Ks. I just feel like everybody's going to go in these, 6 to 7K range, and Kupp and Adams are going to go overlooked. And honestly, I haven't played around with it, but playing a team that plays both those guys, Adams and Kupp, and getting, all the targets, you could legit get 35 targets between those two guys this weekend. So I think that's an interesting route to think about as you, start to build this weekend, which I have to remember that the games are on Saturday afternoon. That is the start, and not Sunday, because it means you got to build a little bit earlier and not necessarily have all the news for the Sunday games. But that's okay, because there's not much news we're waiting on. I think Fournette is the biggest one. They do play Sunday, unfortunately, for injury news. But other than that, I'm on board with you at the QB position. I think it's Allen if I'm paying up. Otherwise, I'm probably just going to pay down for Stafford myself or Burrow.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Let's jump over to running back. Let's jump over to the running back. So we have Derrick Henry, who's 7,500. We'll still have to see what's going to happen with him. He has been getting in reps and everything else. So I'm pretty positive he's going to play. So he's 7,500. You got Aaron Jones, who's 6,800. Joe Mixon, who's 6,600. Devin Singletary, who's 5,900. Elijah Mitchell is 5,800. Leonard Fournette's at 5,700. Cam Akers is 5,500. Deonta Foreman, 5,400. Sony Michel, 53. CEH at 52. AJ Dillon at 51. And Gio Bernard at 5K. So for me, and I think probably for everybody else, it's got to be living in this middle 5K range, right? Because you have Devin Singletary, who's played really, really well, really going back the last month, month and a half. I mean, just continues to be the workhorse back here. He's getting targets out of the backfield and, you know, getting goal line touches. However, I will say the Kansas City run defense has been really good over the last, you know, couple of months. Outside of the game that they lost Chris Jones, I think it was due to COVID. That was about it. And Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson went off. But other than that, they've really done a really good job of limiting opposing running backs. But Elijah Mitchell continues to get just an absolute monster workload every time he's on the field. Saw 27 carries last week, you know, 21, 21, 22. I mean, he's a walking 20-plus touches in a matchup against Green Bay. And then Cam Akers, absolutely loved to see it, came back and just looked fantastic. Coming back from that injury. And I didn't, you know, he's somebody we talked about last week playing and thought it was kind of risky and thought that, you know, he really could get more touches than what people were expecting. I actually played some Cam Akers. It really could have been a really good game had he converted. He had a couple big runs called back. I think it was one reception he had called back. And then, you know, if he could have found the end zone, he could have been a smash. But either way, Cam Akers at 5,500. The tough part is you're playing Tampa Bay, and that's one of the bad run defenses to target. One player I do like, though, is I do like CEH at 5,200. He's practicing fully. He's fully healthy. And this Chiefs offense, especially their offensive line, has been fantastic. The Bills have really struggled to stop the run, and I do think that you see them run the ball more than what you expect. And so CEH at 5,200. I do like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely good with CEH. I'm even fine, you know, if you want to play McKinnon. It sounds like Darrell Williams is still dealing with that toe issue. He's not even practicing. And, you know, the fact that he pretty much didn't play at all last week should tell you where he's at with health. And with CEH coming back, they don't really need to force Darrell to do anything, especially with how good McKinnon looked. So, even with CEH coming back, as long as Darrell Williams is like pretty much, you know, they're saying he's not going to play much, I'm good with playing McKinnon because we've seen all year the Chiefs will split the work, you know, with these guys. McKinnon looked pretty good last week too. So there's, you know, there's not really a reason for them to not trust him or anything. So it's pretty much a product of there's not really any running backs that scare me by not playing them. I guess Aaron Jones is maybe the only one just because of how many touchdowns he can score, but it's just not really the matchup for it. He scored a touchdown the last time these two teams played, and he only got 17 DraftKings points. It's just, I mean, 17's fine, but at 6,800, I mean, I'd rather just play one of the wide receivers at that price and just hope I get, you know, 10 to 12 points out of somebody cheaper in the, like, the 5K range. So, I just don't think that there's a running back that's really going to have a had-to-have-it score on this slate. So I'm okay with just paying down and getting your, you know, being able to have salary for Adams or Kupp up top. I mean, Mixon's fine too, but, I mean, Tennessee's been one of the best rush defenses in the NFL this year. So they've really, really struggled against the pass, and we've seen, you know, Joe Burrow just take over with the pass. And, yes, I know kind of Mixon has kind of gotten involved in the pass game as well. You know, 5, 8, and 6 targets over the last three, but it's tough to play Mixon in a game that the Bengals should project to throw a lot, because a lot of his big games this year have come when he's gotten a lot of volume on the ground and had rushing touchdowns. So yeah, I think I'm just going to end up paying up a wide receiver and just praying that these 5K running backs don't kill me.
So, you know, if because it doesn't, like, Ronald Jones, he still hasn't practiced yet this week. If he doesn't play, and if Leonard Fournette does not play in this
matchup, you have to play Geo. You have to, because that the Rams pass rush, and I'm considering Geo anyways because I don't think Fournette's going to play. I don't think Fournette would play the entire game, even if he plays. We saw, you know, just last week that Geo is their main guy with you know, Fournette not in there.
Is he? Are you sure it's not Keyshawn Vaughn?
Yeah. No, it's Geo had more carries and more targets. He was, you know, it got a 2-yard rushing touchdown. So, and that was in what, the first drive of the game?
Well, no, Gio only had 13 carries. Keyshawn had 17. But
okay, well, they were neck and neck. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, even if Fournette plays, I think, especially with how this running back slate is, I think Bernard's got enough pass catching upside for his price. Now, if he was up there at Joe Mixon's price, you know, I'd rather just play Mixon because, I mean, we can pretty much project both of them for, what, 5 to 6 targets probably. But with the Rams pass rush, we know Brady's going to have to get the ball out early and quickly. And I just think a lot of it's going to go to the running back position. And Brady's a guy who's just targeted the running back position all year anyways. I mean, Fournette leads the NFL in targets. So I just think it's a better matchup for throwing passes to the running backs than Philly was last week, just from the makeup of this Rams defense and what they, you know, entail and what it means with the matchup with Tom Brady. We saw, you know, Gio got 7 targets last week, and Gio in this same matchup back in week 3, Gio had 10 targets in week 3 against the Rams. So, yeah, I think I'm just going to end up playing Gio. And assuming Fournette's not going to get a full workload unless we hear otherwise, because he's still on IR. They haven't activated him yet. Honestly, I'm probably going to end up with Gio and one of McKinnon or Clyde Edwards-Helaire as my running backs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I do like Aaron Jones. I know that San Francisco's been good against the run this year. But his use, I mean, he could very well see a lot of targets as well. You know, like we mentioned the last time these two teams played, 19 carries for 82 yards, only was targeted twice in that game. But he's actually fully healthy now, something we haven't seen from him in a while, at 6,800. And so I don't mind him.
If you can get to Aaron Jones, he would be my number one on the slate for running back. I prefer him over Mixon.
Yeah. I mean, the only argument with Mixon over Aaron Jones is just you're not worried about somebody taking the touches away. Mm-hmm. And at least over the last 3 weeks, Joe Mixon has been more involved as a pass catcher. But, yeah, it's just kind of a gross slate for running back. And it's kind of like what you mentioned. Like, there's just nobody here that I'm like, oh, man, this guy's absolutely going to kill me. I mean, I guess Derrick Henry, we know Derrick Henry, you know, if Derrick Henry's going to get, you know, 30 carries, but I don't see them doing that with him his first game back. But he's also 7,500. Are you going to play him at all, or are you just going to fade him?
No, I'm fading him. I mean, you look at his game logs throughout the year. I mean, he's got rushes of 35, 28, 33, 29, 29, 28. Like, he needs that volume to get to that, you know, 30-point threshold from a fantasy standpoint because he doesn't catch passes. So, at $7,500, he has to go for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns to absolutely burn me, because that 100-yard 2 touchdown threshold is 25 points. So, yeah, I'm out on Henry at that price.
I agree as well, especially somebody that is not utilized as a pass catcher either. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much all we need to talk about the running back position. Yep. Is there anybody else that you want to hit on? I don't think we really missed anybody that stands out anyway.
Nope, I'm good.
All right. excuse me. So, at wide receiver, we have Cooper Kupp at 8,600, Devontae Adams at 8,500, Debo at 7,600, Jamar Chase 7,100, Mike Evans at 6,800, Tyreek Hill at 6,600, Stephon Diggs at 6,500, A.J. Brown at 6,200, T. Higgins at 5,700, Odell at 5,300, Ayuk at 5,200. It's just ridiculous what they did with the wide receivers this week, why they dropped these guys down so ridiculously. I think they did it so you can get more casuals to play, in my opinion, because that's what it feels like to me, because it doesn't make any sense why you would drop Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs down to this price, to where they're at. I mean, they haven't been sub 7K, I think, all year. And so, they even dropped Cooper Kupp down. I mean, Cooper Kupp's been above 9K for weeks now. And then Devontae Adams, you know, he's been above 9K. I don't know. I don't get it. either way, if I have to make a choice between Kupp or Adams, I'm going to go with Devontae Adams as who I want. Is who I'm going to target here. They're the exact same price. I could see a scenario where, you know, where you see some other guys get targeted more. Because I will say it's kind of interesting. The last 3 weeks, he hasn't seen more than 7 targets. Cooper Kupp hasn't. You know, he only saw 7 against Arizona, 7 against San Francisco, and 7 against Baltimore. Because you're starting to see, I think, a lot more teams say, okay, you're not going to beat us with Cooper Kupp. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're taking him away. Not that that's really affected him all that much. He's still been getting there. But yeah. Still, I mean, even at 8,600, you know, he needs more. I mean, he had 17.1 last week and 21.5 in one of those same weeks as well. I mean, he needs more than that to pay off that price tag of $8,600. So I prefer Devontae Adams to Cooper Kupp. Which one do you prefer?
Yeah, I prefer Adams as well. I don't know that I'm going to come off of playing Cooper Kupp. I may try to play both of them. I think it's doable with the pricing. Because if you put in both of them, your remaining salary per position is $4,700, and that includes you know, picking a cheap defense too. So if you throw in, let's just throw in a random defense here, $4,900 is min price. You're looking at $5,000 average per player the rest of the way. So, you know, it is doable to play both of them because there are some cheap $4,000 wide receivers and lower. So I don't hate the idea of getting both those guys and just fading that $6,000 range completely. But at the same time, I think one of the $6,000 range guys is going to have a head-to-head it score just because those guys are too involved in their offenses to, you know, kind of for all of them to disappoint. But yeah, I agree. I think Adams over Kupp for me as well.
As far as the other wide receivers are concerned, especially in the $6,000 range, where do you lean there?
So I really like a little bit over the $6,000 range, but 7,100. I really like Jamar Chase still. They've made a very, very conscious effort to get him heavily involved over the last few weeks. You're looking at 12, 12, and 10 targets over the last 3 full games that they've played. Pretty much a lock for 100 yards when he's gone, you know, double-digit targets this year. So the games that he's had double-digit targets, he had 10 in week 5, he had 159 yards and a touchdown. He had 10 in week 7, 201 yards and a touchdown. Had 13 in week 9 against Cleveland, only had 49 yards. 10 targets in week 16, 125 yards, 12 targets week 17, 266 yards, 3 scores. And then just this last week, 12 targets, had 116 yards, ended up scoring 26 fantasy points without any touchdowns. So if you get, you know, a double touchdown game out of Chase last week, he's get up to 38 fantasy points. And I think we're, you know, not even really having a conversation, you know, about whether we should play Jamar Chase or not. Because I think, you know, I think that with the conscious effort they're making, and Tennessee's been one of the worst at defending wide receivers this year as well. So definitely, I just think they just continue to ride this Jamar Chase train as they have in must-win games over the last month. So I really like him a lot. I'm not going to talk about Tyreek and Stephon Diggs. I think those are, you know, two of the obvious ones. And A.J. Brown, 6,200. I know that's going to interest you, Kev. I feel like you play A.J. Brown pretty much every week. That you know, that he's available to be played. You know, the A.J. Brown, Jamar Chase stack. If Chase is hitting his ceiling, there's a good chance A.J. Brown's hitting his on the other side too. So I really like that as a mini stack this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, there'll be no disagreements here. I mean, A.J. Brown, $6,200 is criminally, it's criminal. It shouldn't be allowed for him to be that cheap. He's still kind of the only guy in town. You know, I know Julio is still there, but I mean, Julio, I guess the last time he played week 18, he did see 9 targets for 58 yards and a score, but I don't know. But as far as the other wide receivers, you know, T. Higgins has been so up or down, 4 and 5 targets the last 2 weeks, then 13, 3, 7, 14, 8, 3, 8, you know, 6, 15. He's either boom or bust. He's either going to, you know, just see a massive amount of targets, or he gets, you know, marginalized, right? I know a lot of people were tilting their face off last week that played him when he only, you know, had gave you two DK points.
I think so, on teams that you don't play Chase, you play T. Higgins because of how cheap T. Higgins is.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people are going to play T. Higgins because the amount of people that got burnt on him last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 5,700 T. Higgins. As far as, you know, the cheaper range of the 5 and 4K wide receivers, I absolutely love Alan Lazard at 4,400, especially with it looks like MVS is going to be out. That's a big boost for him. He's likely going to be more of a deep threat in the offense. And so I like Alan Lazard at 4,400. Byron Pringle, I don't know why he continues to be as cheap as he is, 4,200. I feel like he should be in the upper 4 or 5 or low 5K range of wide receivers, considering, you know, the usage that he's been seeing lately. But here we are. He's still only 4,200, so that makes it a pretty easy play on him. but, you know, as far as the other wide receivers, you know, Brandon Ayuk continues to, you know, I think he's been he hasn't shown an incredibly high ceiling, but he is getting there, you know, 11.6, 19.7, 13.4. 14. And this is a matchup they're likely not going to be leading. They're, you know, like last week against Dallas, I think they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. And so I do like getting to this San Francisco pass catcher. And I like going with Brandon Ayuk at 5,200. I don't mind, you know, if you can figure out a way to get Deebo Samuel in. But if I'm going up that high, I'd probably just figure out a way to get a little bit higher and give me Davante Adams and pay down for Brandon Ayuk. Because I think there's just a better play there. Paying $7,600 for Deebo is tough, despite the fact that he is just consistently smashing every week.
Yeah, I agree.
Other than that, is there any other cheap, you know, 3K wide receivers you're looking at?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
3K, no.
I think if you're looking for somebody, I think that you know, McCole Hardman's somebody that you can always play. I wouldn't have a ton of them. I would sprinkle them in. You know, he's not somebody that sees a ton of targets, but certainly could have, you know, break off a long touchdown. He does get some run, you know, as a running back as well. Not nearly as much as some of these other guys. But then you have, you know, Isaiah McKenzie as well, who, you know, is getting involved as you know, kind of doing the dual threat thing, kind of like, you know, a very light Deebo Samuel. He's only 3,500. I think getting access to some of these guys like this, and it could give you access to this game without paying up for some of these guys. So I don't mind either one of those two. You know, Randall Cobb is only 3,100. I don't really know what to expect from him, how much he would play. I know it would obviously helps that MBS is going to be out or likely going to be out. That should help him a little bit in terms of role. But, you know, with him coming back from an injury, first game back, not that I think that he has to play a ton of snaps to be relevant, especially at 3,100. But again, kind of a thin play. I don't mind if you want to sprinkle him in as well, but not somebody that I'm just going to be, you know, actively looking to get in my lineups either.
Yeah, I think the cheapest that I want to go would be Jawan Jennings at 3,400. He's probably got the safest, you know, outlook. I mean, he's probably going to get, you know, 4 to 5 targets in a game that San Francisco should be trailing. He's 3,400. He's a big body receiver who can catch a touchdown. He's got 5 touchdowns this year. Him and then Cole Beasley's 4K. I'm not excited to play him, but I mean, we've seen him. He's scored over 20 points multiple times this year. So he's definitely got that in the bag of tricks. So those are probably
the only thing that worries me with him is that since Dawson Knox has been really Dawson Knox kind of kills him.
I agree. And then I really like Lazard at 4,400 as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any interest in Julio at 4,700?
No, I'm out on that. I'm just going to play AJ Brown at 62.
I'm a truther, so I'll probably have a few lineups with Julio. But he's certainly not somebody that I'm going to be, actively trying to get to. But, yeah, if I'm paying down in the 3K range, it's going to be Isaiah McKenzie and Mecole Hardman would be the two that I really look at. I don't mind, even Nick Westbrook-Ikeem, the last time he played, he did see 5 targets in that game. He's kind of the number 3 wide receiver in that group. But, again, super, super thin play, right?
Yep.
So, all right, well, Odell. Just smashing in Odell at 5,300?
Not on this slate, I'm not. Oh, he hasn't scored over 20 fantasy points yet with the Rams. I mean, he's got a couple 19s in his bag.
He should have this last week. He got multiple calls that I think that were called back for penalty. He definitely should have had.
He's been so touchdown dependent. I mean, if you take his touchdowns away, I mean, he's scoring 17, 15, 14, 11, and 19 with touchdowns. You take touchdowns away and he's scoring 7 points. In most games, 7 to 10. And so at some point, the touchdown luck is going to run out, right? Like they'll hit Higbee for a touchdown. Cooper Kupp will catch a touchdown. Van Jefferson's going to catch a long one at some point. And at some point, OBJ's touchdown luck of scoring a touchdown every single game that he plays is going to run out. And I think he just, you know, he jumps off the page as the obvious name to play. And I'm just going to continue to fade him because I mean, he hasn't scored over 20 points yet, so it's not like he's burning me by not playing him. And these games where he doesn't score, he's really going to sink your team, I think. And he's going to be, you know, very popular. So he's one of the plays I'm looking to actually avoid this week.
It makes sense, right? If he hasn't seen an incredibly high target share in a lot of these games, most he's seen is 8. But some of these games, they've kind of had control in. They haven't had to really throw the ball as much. You know, Van Jefferson is
the matchup's
still there as
great,
well.
But I just think him being 5,300, I think he's going to come in more popular than he should. And he, you know, even with scoring touchdowns, he hasn't done anything to really burn me on slates that I haven't played him. So I'm just going to keep riding the wave of you know, fade and pray.
And lastly, I guess we should just at least hit on him, Mike Evans. We didn't talk about him at all. Do you have any interest in him, or are you just fading him because of matchup or price? Because he's kind of in that awkward spot, right? You got Jamar Chase, who's a little bit more than he is. You got Tyreek Diggs and AJ Brown, all cheaper than he is. He is interesting. Saw 10 targets last week against Philly in a game that they kind of smashed them.
Yeah.
I'm not really.
I'd just rather play Chase if I'm going to pay that price, I think.
Yeah. I think he's an interesting play because I think he goes overlooked, much like you said. And we've seen, he's kind of the only, it's him and Gronk, right? I mean, I guess you have Fournette who could be back, who could be involved in the passing game. But, you know, with all these injuries that they have, you know, he's going to see a ton of targets from Tom Brady. He's heavily involved in the red zone, and I think he's going to go overlooked. I mean, we saw in the last 2 weeks, 26.9 and 29.7 over those two games. And, you know, I'm not worried about, like, Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey's not going to shadow him. Jalen Ramsey hasn't shadowed, I don't think, all year. And so that's not going to happen. And so this is a home game for Tampa Bay as well. And I think, you know, it's very, very possible that he goes out and drops a 30 burger. And so at 6,800, very low ownership.
He could. And Cyril Grayson's not been practicing, and Rashad Perryman's dealing with an injury as well. So, you know, it could be Scotty Miller lining up opposite him, who Scotty Miller runs one route, and that's the go route. So if Tom Brady's going to look for anybody that runs any sort of route tree, it's going to be Evans, it's going to be Gronk, and then dump offs to running backs, I think. And that's why I really like Gio, whether Fournette plays or not. Gio and Fournette, you can play both. Like, if they come out and say Fournette's going to start, I still think Gio's involved, and honestly, you could just play both of them. And I honestly think that you could see Brady throw, you know, 15 to 17 times to that running back position. Just because of how much pressure the Rams defensive line can get on Brady. And we know he just loves to dump it off when he's under pressure. So I with him having no wide receivers left, like Chris Godwin's gone, all they're dealing with all these injuries. I just really think that running back position is going to be heavily targeted.
Well, yeah. It's going to be, you know, that's going to be the big question is, can they get pressure on Brady? You know, that really kind of changes the complexity of things. If you can, you know, Tristan Wirfs, I've seen if he's going to be able to play, that could be a big blow to that offensive line.
That is a
as
big
well.
One.
I don't know why they put him back out there last week. As soon as he left, like, pull him out. Like, what are we doing putting him back out there? Like,
I agree.
You know, at that point in the game, there was no point. There was no, like, oh, man, this team might be able to beat us, you know? Like, it was none of that happening. I have no idea why they decided to put him back out there. It made no sense to me. Anyways, so that could be a problem as well. All right, well, I think we pretty much hit on all the wide receivers. So let's jump over to the tight end position. Kelce, again, too cheap, 6,500. Gronk's at 5,800. George Kittle's at 5,300. Knox is at 4,900. Then you have Tyler Higbee at 4K. Uzoma at 3,400. And then you have the cheap guys. What are we doing at tight end? Are you paying down at tight end, especially if you're wanting to pay up at, you know, pay for both, Cooper Kupp and Davante Adams? Are you wanting to pay down for, you know, at tight end?
I think tight end is obvious. I think there's two options. I think it's George Kittle, low 5K, and Dawson Knox, high 4K. I'm going to play one or both of those guys. I think Kittle's going to smash personally. I think this is finally a game that San Francisco can't control. I know we talked about Kittle a couple weeks ago, but how he, you know, he really tends to smash in these games that are back and forth or games that are trailing, as opposed to them playing with a lead. And, you know, you look at these games that San Francisco's played these last couple weeks. I know they were trailing to the Rams, and he didn't really do anything, but he saw seven targets. You know, we go back to week 14 and week 13. They beat Cincy by 3 points in a back-and-forth game, and they lost to Seattle by seven in a high-scoring game. He had 27 targets over those two games, scored 37 and 43 fantasy points. I mean, Kittle is one of the few guys that can actually break the slate on this slate, especially at the tight end position. So him and Knox, I mean, Knox is just so heavily involved, especially, you know, down near the goal line. And, you know, we've always said attack Kansas City with tight ends. So I think that Knox and Kittle are the obvious tight end plays this week. And again, it's just, you know, another reason to get off that Kansas City Buffalo, Travis Kelce being super popular. I would assume that he is the top 1 to 2 highest owned. And that's not to say that Kelce's a bad play. I mean, if you look at his track record against Buffalo last couple games over the last this year and last year, what's he got, 5 touchdowns in 3 games against them? Something ridiculous. So, I mean, it's not to say Kelce's a bad play, because he's not. He's a good play. And literally every game he plays, you can play him. I just think he's going to be very popular. And the fact that he's $6,500 and I can get, you know, George Kittle for $1,300 less and a guy that can score 10 more points than Travis Kelce can if he has a big game. So, yeah, I like Kittle and Knox.
I don't. There's no disagreement here for me with George Kittle, especially at the price. It's ridiculous how cheap that he is. I have no idea why he is that cheap.
I don't either. $300. And I don't think he's going to get ownership either, because people look at his game logs and they're all over the place. I love Kittle this weekend, man.
Yeah, and Green Bay hasn't been great against opposing tight ends either. I think they've allowed like the 10th most DK points on the season to opposing tight ends as well. And so, there's no disagreement here. And I think that you're 100% right, especially as cheap as Travis Kelce is at 6,500. I mean, it's too cheap for him, for somebody that's typically in the upper 7K range every single week.
And people just watched him smash on primetime.
Other than that, like, I mean, I think if you wanted to pay down for a tight end, I mean, I don't.
Oh, yeah. You know, here we go. Give it to me.
I mean, I was just going to say Tyler Higbee's only 4K. I mean,
yeah,
I think he's starting to get more involved. I mean, really look at, I mean, he has multiple weeks here. I mean, he was only targeted 4 times last week, but that was because Arizona just absolutely destroyed the Cardinals.
He scored 15 against Tampa Bay back in week 4.
Yeah, and in the past that, he had 8, 9, 6, 6, you know, 5, 5, 10. I mean, so he's getting quite a bit of targets and usage here. And so I don't mind Tyler Higbee if you're willing to pay down at 4K. And then, I mean, I wish there was an obvious choice in the Tennessee, for a tight end, you know, because Cincinnati has really struggled. But, I mean, unless you're going to play Anthony Firkser, but I have no trust in that.
Absolutely not. I'm out on that.
So, and then I guess, I don't know, Jaguara, again, it's kind of the same thing. That is a complete hope. That he does anything. So I don't think you really need to do that with the options that are there. If I'm paying down, it's going to be Tyler Higbee. Other than that, I'm going to have a lot of George Kittle. And, you know, I'll sprinkle in some Travis Kelce for sure. But depending on what I'm doing. But that's kind of where I stand on tight end this week. I don't think there's any reason to get cute.
I agree.
Well, let's jump over to defense where there's not – to me, a standout defense. You know, there's no, I mean, maybe Green Bay, I guess, would be the one standout that you could make a case for. I know they're the most expensive at 3,200, but, you know, against San Francisco, depending on how that game turns out. But other than that, like, there's no, like, there's no defense that just, like, absolutely just jumps off the page to me.
I disagree. I am going back to the well this week. Same defense we played last week. I mean, we talk about it. Tampa Bay's got all these wide receiver injuries. They're pretty much only going to have Evans and Gronk in the running backs. And if Wirfs is out too, that's such a big blow to that offensive line. I just think Aaron Donald and those guys are going to have their way if that's the case. I think the Rams win this game pretty easily, to be honest.
Ooh,
that is a hot take. But if I was picking an upset this weekend, I know we didn't like them last weekend, but if I was picking one this weekend, it would be the Rams.
Yeah, I don't know if it's hot because, I mean, it's actually been bet down to 2.5. So it's actually not that, you know, money coming in on the Rams. So it's really not that
I like
hot.
Cincinnati too. And they're four point underdogs for whatever reason. But yeah, I Cincinnati defense is fine. If I was needing to pay down even more. But yeah, I like the Rams.
I get on board with that. You know, I guess my point was there's just no like obvious, like this is a smash play defense, like 100% just obvious. Right. And so I think that's going to lend itself to a lot of ownership being all over the place. And there's no, I mean, even the most expensive is 3,200. If you wanted to go up to the Packers at home, you know, at Lambeau, you know, it's not that hard to get to. But
I could see Cincinnati and Tennessee defenses ending up popular if people just don't want to play that game from an offensive standpoint, you know? Because, like, when you build your team, you're like, okay, well, I don't like any of these defenses, but I don't have any of these guys from this game, so let me just pick one of these two. So I could see them getting pretty popular. And so I like playing a defense that's not one of those two. Uh-oh, Kev, geez. Here we go. Dornage has Cincinnati and the Rams winning. Agree. And he thinks KC might lose too. What do you have to say about the KC Buffalo game? You think it's a tight, close, high-scoring game? Give us your Kansas City thoughts. Your non-homer or your homer. You're allowed to have homer thoughts.
I will say this. I think that these two teams are very evenly matched. I think they have a lot of very similar qualities about them. I think both of them have good defenses. I think both of them obviously have elite quarterbacks with really good weapons. I think they're very similar in a lot of ways. I think that there's a lot of hype around the Bills right now because of what we just saw them do to the Patriots and everybody acting like the Patriots were actually a good team. I've heard a lot of that of, oh, well, you know, it was more impressive them beating the Patriots than it was, you know, the Chiefs beating the Steelers, which I don't think the Steelers and the Patriots are that far off. I'd be honest with you. Mac Jones, any time actually having to throw the ball, has not looked good at all. Right? It was a statement game. It was at home. Like, everybody's been talking about the Bills like they have just they just crushed like one of the best teams in the league. The Patriots are not that.
And you know what's very interesting? The fact that the Bills have all this hype surrounding them, it's like from the public, is Kansas City is still a 2-point favorite in Vegas. And so that's why if I was picking, it feels like a coin flip to me, but if I was picking, I'd pick KC because with the amount of hype that's going around on Buffalo and just how good Buffalo is, how good Josh Allen is, and nobody can stop this team, and they've got the best defense ever. That all that hype in Kansas City is still a 2-point favorite according to Vegas. So I am just going to follow Vegas on this one. And if I had to pick, I would pick KC. So my picks for the week would be Green Bay, KC, Rams, and Cincinnati.
And the other thing I will say is this, is that who the fuck have the Bills played this year? Like, who have
Nobody.
They played? Who have they beat?
Nobody.
Like, right, and I know people are going to say, oh, well, they beat the Chiefs. They did beat the Chiefs back in week 5. And like I've said, the Chiefs are missing some massive pieces. Like, for the Chiefs to be without Chris Jones is like it's like the Rams being without Aaron Donald, right? Like, he is such a massive piece to that defense. And they were without him. They were without a lot of other pieces on their defense. Things are so different now. But they have not beat one. That's the only playoff team that they beat all year. The only one that they beat. They lost to the Steelers. Oh, actually, yeah, the one, the Patriots. But they lost to the Steelers earlier in the year. I mean, they've lost to a lot of teams, but most teams they've beaten have been terrible. And so, like, some of it just doesn't get some of it doesn't understand. I don't get it. But it's because what they just did and what people saw and the perfect game and everything else, what they did, it's they beat Bill Belichick. Right?
Yeah.
So.
I agree. Give me KC, man. I'm riding the Chiefs train with you.
So, I kind of did the same thing last year. I'm like,
KC's been through the thick of it this year. They've been through the lows. They've faced tough teams and had to battle.
Yeah,
and they've been told how they're not very good anymore. They're peaking at the right time. I think Mahomes looks really good right now.
So we'll see what happens. We're gonna find out. Yeah. I hope the Chiefs win. When they do, I'm just gonna again we get to watch all the. It sucks because like Bills fans like it's kind of one or the other, right? Because Bills fans like they're like there's a lot of them that are just annoying as hell. Like just like shut up, like you know what I mean. But I still think they have a really good fan base and, you know, passionate and everything else, but some of it just gets annoying. But I've gotten used to it now, like with the Chiefs, like it's kind of like, I'm not calling them the Patriots of the years past, but like, it's kind of similar to that. Cause I think people are kind of exhausted of the Chiefs and, you know, kind of tired of seeing them every year, you know, and the Super Bowl. Cause you know, this would, if they make it this year's third year in a row, people kind of want to see something different. If the Bills win, is it going to shock me? No, not whatsoever. Cause like I said, I think these two teams are very similar. In a lot of ways. So I think it's going to be a really good game. And so we'll see what happens. But other than that, let's go ahead and just build this lineup, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Walido thinks the 49ers are going to beat the Packers. I'm out on that one.
Yeah.
I'm out on that one.
They should have lost to the Cowboys.
They should have. Cowboys had 14 penalties.
Is Dak Prescott really, though, is he the next Tony Romo? Because it really feels like it. He is heading down the same career trajectory of Tony Romo.
Dak didn't look – I know that everybody says that he threw for his career high in total, like career high in touchdowns this year, but he just didn't look right, man. Like he missed a lot of throws this year.
And I know he was coming off that injury and everything else, you know. Yeah.
And he wasn't able to use his legs because of that. I mean, he did have some rushing, but it just seems like he shied away from running that any moment he could. He wasn't as aggressive with it as he.
But with the weapons they have, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't have these problems, you know.
I agree.
But they've screwed themselves in a lot of ways too because of like Zeke Elliott. Like you have to bring Zeke Elliott back because his contract's like $30 million. A dead cap space, so they don't have a choice. They have to bring that man back, and there's no he should not. He's somebody that should
be cut. The beat writers have already been getting questions about Zeke, and they've been saying that talking about how Zeke is, you know, he's more about winning at this point than he is about, you know, his own stats, and he would happily let Pollard take on a significant share of the workload if that's what the coaches will want to happen. So I'm interesting to see
how that shifts. He is. Whenever,
yeah, I mean,
he's getting paid. I mean,
he's getting paid. And he played through a freaking PCL tear or whatever it was this year. So,
yeah. Anyways,
I agree. But
apologize for the coughing. I got diagnosed with COVID this week. So,
still here on the pod pushing us through.
Yep. So, anyways, all right. Let's build this lineup. So I guess we're just going to go ahead and lock in Davante Adams, right? Because we know that's happening.
Yep. And I'm going to say go ahead and double stack it with Kittle. Mini stack it. And we didn't talk about Jimmy G, but are you considering playing him at all? I mean, he's got like 6 games of 18 points, and he's got a 30-point game this year too. And each game that Kittle went for like a million points, Jimmy G was at like low 20s. He's 5,200. Nobody's going to have that build where you pay all the way down at QB. Everybody's going to pay up for Josh Allen and Mahomes and those guys.
I just don't know. I just don't know what he. I mean, what is he? I mean, I just don't think he has much of a ceiling. Like, yes, he does have one game, but other than that, it's been much more in the teens and the, you know, 20 or whatever.
It has. But if think about if all the other games somehow disappoint. And Jimmy gets
it definitely could happen. I mean, it's not out of the range.
That's how you would be able to play those, you know, mega wide receivers.
It's like you're trying to talk me into it.
I'm not saying pick him. I just, when I, you know, said stack Kittle with Adams, I was curious if you had any interest in Jimmy G.
But we are going to go with the quarterback from that game. We're going to go with Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Let's throw in Rodgers. And just go ahead and double stack him with Lazard then. So we got a full game stack there, which I like a lot.
Let's go with CEH.
I'll give you some salary to play with. Go Rams D.
Let's go with – I'm going to go Jamar Chase. Is there anybody you like if we went Beasley at flex? Or I was going to say Dawson Knox, double stack tight end, but I don't think it's a $4,500 running back. Isn't. If you go Beasley, at least 5,400.
Yeah, I would just say just plug in Geo at that point. I'm good with that.
All right. Well, that's where we at. Aaron Rodgers, CEH, Geo Bernard, Davante Adams, Lazard, Jamar Chase, Kittle, Beasley, and Rams D. With $400 remaining salary. I'm just going to go ahead and lock button that in. I'm pretty sure last week's did really well. Last week's lineup we built.
I'm trying to remember.
If I remember correctly, because we had Fournette in it and I switched it out.
To Gio?
Yes. And then I think I, but I'm almost positive it cashed.
Who was our QB? Dak?
Actually, I can tell you. I should be able to tell you.
I don't think it was Josh Allen. He smashed.
It would have been
I want to say it was Dak. Or did we play Burrow? We might have played Burrow with Chase. And Uzoma. Did we play Uzoma?
I'm pretty sure it was this lineup. No, okay. So I didn't. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was this lineup. It was because it was Pat Mahomes, Tyreek, Darren Waller, CeeDee Lamb,
mm-hmm.
Ayuk,
mm-hmm.
Rams D.
Yep. That was it.
Singletary.
So we did play Mahomes.
And then I actually What I did was I actually swapped off and I actually went to Akers. That's who I went with.
Okay.
To get a little bit different. That's what I did. But that lineup so scored 155 and it cashed. It actually was a top 500 lineup.
Nice.
And it's the single entry that I put it in. So last week's lineup did pretty well. Actually, it would have done really well had CeeDee Lamb not scored fucking three.
Yeah. That was a killer. That was painful. I just don't understand why they don't give him as many targets as he can handle.
I don't know either. And I don't know what the, I mean, the Cowboys have some decisions to make. They got a lot of players that are free agents this offseason. I mean, we're not looking at, you know, you have Schultz that's a free agent. Gallup's a free agent. Cedric Wilson's a free agent.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they got a lot of decisions to make. Defensively, what, Randy Gregory's a free agent.
Kellen Moore's interviewing for head coaching positions. Dan Quinn's interviewing for head coaching positions.
Which it's is going to be a different
team next year.
Why the hell, like, because they have to have some questions about McCarthy. Maybe they don't because Jerry Jones is loyal to these coaches. Same thing we saw with Jason Garrett for so long. But, like, if I was Jerry Jones, I'd be like, man, maybe we should fire Mike McCarthy and just hire one of the coordinators that we have that we're about to get poached, right? Would seem to make the logical decision, but that's not what Jerry Jones does. But I don't know.
I don't know.
It's going to be a rough offseason. But anyways.
Dallas will be a very different team next year. That is for sure.
And there's so much stuff that has to – like, I was like, look, I mean, there's like really not that long away from like even like free agency and everything else. I mean, you're coming up on less than 50 days left until free agency starts. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen. We really haven't had a lot of movement in terms of the coaching staff and stuff like that for filling vacancies and everything. So – it's going to be an interesting offseason. But with that being said, I guess we can go ahead and get out of here on that one. We'll be back again next week for the championship round, two-game slate. We'll definitely be back for that. We'll also be back for the Super Bowl. So we'll talk about the showdown there, the showdown slate on that one. So anyways,
we will not be here for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, no. Fuck the Pro Bowl.
Because they will have contests for that. But we will not be doing that.
You have to be sick to play the Pro Bowl. not me. So, anyways, I appreciate everybody rocking with us. Like I said, let's win some money this weekend. Be sure to jump into our Discord. It's absolutely free. You can find us on Twitter as well. You find Maddie at MaddieDFS. You can find me at FantasyRat13. I appreciate everybody checking it out. And we will be back again next week for the AFC or the championship round playoffs. Have a good weekend. Let's win some money. Peace.
You think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a great boy. Yeah, that's a great little man. Break it down. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a brace, boy. Yeah. That's a brace, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. You can be like a book on a shelf back. You can be boy. Yeah. And you can be little man.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.